The following content is provided to you as a ministry of Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters, a high adventure Christian wilderness camp in Andrews, North Carolina. Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters exists to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ through the exposition of Scripture and personal relationships in order to equip the church to impact this generation. For more information, visit our website at swoutfitters.com or follow us on Twitter using the handle @SnowbirdSwo. Enjoy the message.
Y'all turn to Jude again, and we're going to pick up where we left off last night. Did y'all have a good evening? Did y'all have a good time? Bad day at Snowbirds better than a good day at school. Amen?
Amen.
That right there, I'll preach now. I remember when I was a kid, people tell me, I used to say like, man, I can't wait till I'm done with school. I wish I was done with school. I remember I started my graduation countdown. I started that second semester, eighth grade. I was checking them off, man. Some of you like school. Some of you are good at school. I hate you. Just kidding. But some of us, man, it's like school is not, it's hard. School's hard. You have to learn stuff, take tests, do papers, do reports. I'm a preacher now. It's funny to think about this, but if I had to get up in front of my class and give a presentation, I can remember on more than one occasion taking an F on that portion of the report because I didn't want to have to get up and give a presentation. It's awful. But school's important. It's very important. You should take it serious. Like my granddaddy used to say, education is important, but hunting's importanter. All right, so I'm glad y'all are out of school. We got a couple weeks out, and that's good. And we're right in the middle of it, so I hope you're enjoying your vacation. I can't think of a better way to spend your break than to be here with God's people, studying God's Word together, and that's what we're doing. This is the most important thing we do here. Most important thing you do here ain't going to be a rec activity. Most important thing you do here is not going to be going skiing or snowboarding or whatever. That's awesome. I'm all about it, man. That's cool. And you... we take that serious. If you've been to Snowbird ever before, you know it. And if you're here for the first time, you're going to learn. We're serious about rec. We play hard. We're all about playing hard. This is what's most important, is the time that we spend opening God's Word together and studying it. And so we're going to read again from Jude. And let me do this. Let me read these two verses again that we read last night. This is the Word of the Lord. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Let me pray for us. God, please bless the reading and the hearing of Your Word for Your glory and for our good pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen. So we looked last night at the first line. It says, to Him who is able. We know that Jesus is able. We talked about that. I want to pick that thought up before we continue through the passage. And I want to go back. We're looking at Jesus in the Old Testament. So we're looking at before Jesus ever came into the world. Y'all know we've just celebrated Christmas. I love Christmas. I love this time of year. Man, I love it. I love everything about it. And I ain't gonna lie, I've eaten, like I feel bad. I feel sick, just kind of bad from the food I've eaten over the last week. Anybody else feel like that? Just junk and sweets especially, man, so much baked goods. But I love it. I love Christmas. I don't really get many presents anymore at my age and kind of where I am in life. So I really get the whole idea. It's not about what I'm getting. It's about giving, and it's about Jesus. And so I love that time. But do you know that long before Jesus came into the world 2,000 years ago, long before that, He was working in history. And so what we're looking at is Jesus, before He came into the world, was proving Himself to be able. And so last night we looked at the fact that authority belongs to Jesus. And we saw all throughout history that authority belongs to Jesus. Now, we're going to pick up and we're going to look at a few other things that we know to be true about Jesus that prove to us that He is able. I want you this morning to learn, understand, grab hold of, and believe that Jesus is able not just to save you, but to keep you. If you struggle with doubt, Maybe you doubt your own salvation. Maybe you doubt your own heart. Maybe you doubt your own faith. Maybe you doubt, did I say the prayer good enough? Did I really get saved? When I was at that other youth event or when I was at church and I said, I want to be saved and I got baptized, did I really mean it? And so you doubt yourself, but what we want to do this weekend or this week is prove to you that Jesus is trustworthy and not ever to be doubted because he's able to do what he says he's going to do. And so we're seeing throughout history that Jesus has proven himself to be able. We saw that he's proved his authority. The next thing I want you to understand is that Jesus has proven in history, he's proven his own sufficiency. That's a big word. We're going to talk about it. He's sufficient. Here's what that means. He's enough. He's enough. It's not like you don't need Jesus plus something else. He's just sufficient. Jesus is enough. Oftentimes in our lives, we feel maybe joy or hope or happiness, but then a lot of times you'll feel those things, but it'll feel like sort of like there's this emptiness or there's this thing that's lacking in my life. When you grab hold of Jesus, you're grabbing hold of the one who is sufficient. He is enough. When you grab hold of Jesus, you can't grab hold of nothing else. He fills you up to overflowing. The Bible says that he loves us abundantly. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, he lavishes grace on us and he loves us with abundance. In Ephesians chapter 3, it says he is able to love you abundantly or to give to you abundantly. We were in Central America recently. We go down, we do a lot of work in other countries. And we're in Central America at an orphanage that we've been going to for about 15 years. We go down there and we do a camp just like we're doing here this week with y'all. We do one at this orphanage. And there's about 500 kids there, but about 200 of them are y'all's age. And so I was talking to those kids and I was trying to figure out a good, sometimes when you translate a word into Spanish or into another language, a word that sounds really cool in our language, then maybe you translate it, doesn't sound so cool. So I was trying to find a cool sounding word in Spanish that would like convey the point that Jesus loves abundantly. And so I'm looking, I'm trying to come up with the word. Here's the word that I found. Muchísimo. Muchísimo. So I started like declaring and preaching and proclaiming Jesus's love and his the fact that he's able, his sufficiency. I was using the word muchísimo. And before long, all these kids at this orphanage, when I would see them, they'd be like, muchísimo, muchísimo. It became like this sort of like this battle cry that we would say. And I think that's a good word. You don't even have to know Spanish to kind of get what's going on there. Muchísimo. That's a good word, isn't it? Jesus loves you muchísimo. A lot. Abundantly. He is sufficient. His love is sufficient. Jesus is enough. That's what it means. It means he's enough. You don't need Jesus plus. Here's what young people think. They think, let me tell you one of the things that'll help you start to deal with doubt and stress in your life. Let go of everything else that you're trying to hold on to while you're holding on to Jesus. It's going to pull you. It's going to rip you in half. So young people grab hold of Jesus like this, and they grab hold of the world like this, and they're like, both of these, like if I could, I need Jesus. And I need this, boyfriend, girlfriends, like summit school sports, like enough people following, liking, like your Instagram. You're like, if you can get the prominence you feel like you need in social media. So what if you get 3, 4, 5,000 people to follow, like, approve of you in social media? There are 7 billion people on the planet that don't know who you are. Let go of that. Hold on to this. I ain't saying you got to quit doing that stuff. I'm saying like, let go here. Grab hold like this and you'll be holding the one who is sufficient and abundant and who loves you muchísimo. Like more than you could ever ask. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, more than you could ever ask or receive, Christ will give you because he's sufficient. Jesus is enough. Imagine like think of your favorite meal, the best thing you could eat. For me, I love food. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us taste buds. Amen. Are you glad you got taste buds? But here's what's funny about young people versus old people. I go into a restaurant. I'm gonna comb over the menu. I'm gonna imagine tasting each thing that I read on that menu. That sounds good. Read it. Ooh, that sounds good. Ooh, what if I mix food? Some of you are like, my food don't touch. You got like, your plate looks like a little geographic map. You got like borders. Like, don't let this touch this. Anybody like that? Any not? Look, you know what I'm like? Just get it all slopped up together. When it's all done, give me a biscuit to just sop up what's left, right? It's all going to one place. My taste buds explode with joy. Diversity. Right, so I'm looking at the menu and I'm like, well, that looks good. This looks good. I'm trying to put, I love putting together my order at a restaurant. And I'll be sitting with young people that'll be like, I take some chicken strips and some macaroni and cheese. Macaroni and cheese? You can eat that. You can use a microwave and get them little plastic bowls with a lid peel off. We sell that in a snack shack, y'all. We can't even sell good food in a snack shack, and we can sell that. But what happens is a lot of times, when we're eating, have you ever had this experience where you eat so much of something that's not really that good, but you're so hungry, but then you're full, but it's not good full? You ever have that happen? You're like, oh, I don't feel so good. I do that all the time. Because if I'm hungry and there's something in front of me, I'm going to eat it. Well, imagine eating, like think of your favorite food, like a really good food. I'll tell you, y'all know, a lot of people, if you know me, you probably know that my favorite, I like making a steak at home. I don't like buying one at a restaurant, but at Longhorns, they got a steak. It's called the Outlaw Ribeye. Jesus invented that. I'm just telling you, because it's like, it's straight from heaven, man. It's like one day Jesus was like, I'm going to bless humanity. And he somebody came up with this idea. It is delicious. And I always get it with a loaded sweet potato. It got that butter dripping out of that thing and some brown sugar on that sucker. And boy, I'm going to tell you what, I get to work. I have it dripping off my elbows. Slopping food. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, that's different than a 6-piece chicken McNuggets from McDonald's. That is a different experience. Will both of them fill you up? Yes, but I don't know how it is that if I eat McDonald's food, I go through McDonald's drive-thru, I'm hungry. I can't wait to get that food in me. And then as soon as I'm done, I'm like, oh, how can something taste so good going in and feel so bad sitting there, you know? You ever have that experience? So here's what happens. A lot of times I think people are trying to, like the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And people try to taste or grab hold of things that will not fill you and satisfy you. And you're trying to grab hold of that. And then you're trying to take this pinky. You got everything like in life. You're trying to hold your life together. And you take this pinky and you try to grab hold of Jesus with this pinky. What you need to understand, and I really want you to get this, is he is able, which means he is sufficient. He's the one holding you. He's holding you. Jesus has got you. And so if you can learn his sufficiency, if you can learn that he's enough and you can rest in him, you can become, let me tell you the most beautiful, ladies, let me tell you the most beautiful girls that I ever witnessed at Snowbird Outfitters. Girls who understand the value and love that Christ has given them. And they're happy with that. It's beautiful. It's powerful. Because it reaches down into the like depths of your soul and gives you identity and satisfaction. Jesus is sufficient. You don't need Jesus plus something else. Doesn't mean that we're not going to have earthly relationships. Doesn't mean you're not going to grab hold of things in this world. And we got to live in this world and we need to do a good job of living in this world. But we need to understand that Jesus is sufficient. So Jesus has authority. He has sufficient. He has sufficiency. Third thing is, Jesus throughout history has revealed to us the glory of God. Now this is a big word. It's a short word. Glory. What's that? 5 letters? G-L-O-R-Y. 5 letters. Glory. Short word. Big word. Okay? Big, big word. So let me give you a definition for glory. The glory of God is the holiness of God put on display. I'm going to explain it to you in a minute. The glory of God is the holiness of God put on display. Okay, what is the holiness of God? Let me condense this word holy or holiness into real simple form for you, okay? When we're talking about Jesus being holy, we're talking about the fact that he's pure and he's the source of life. So he's the source of purity and he's the source of life. So like if, as a Christian, Christ has given me purity and he's given me eternal life. That's what holiness means. It's like the wages of sin is death. So sin causes death and destruction and brokenness. Jesus' holiness to us gives us life and purity. He purifies or cleanses us from unrighteousness. So we're talking about the holiness of God. We're talking about the fact that Jesus gives us purity. He gives us life. Okay, so the glory of God is the holiness of God put on display. How's it put on display? Well, a lot of ways, but it can be put on display in my life. That is the infinite worth of God made manifest. So you're taking something that is infinite. Y'all know what infinite means. Like infinity. Remember you're a little kid and you're doing a cut down contest and you say, blah, 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 infinity. Remember that? What are you saying? Game over. Get right? There's no end to infinity. It just goes forever. Like our brain can't even comprehend it. And so the glory of God is the holiness of God displayed and made manifest in a way that we can see it. So we are seeing something that is like beyond our imagination revealed to us. Well, here's what the Bible says. The ultimate revelation of the glory of God is seen in Jesus. And he's been showing it to us throughout history. I'll give you a couple of examples. In Ezekiel, Ezekiel writes this about, I don't know, like hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus came into the world, close to 1,000 years before Jesus came into the world. Ezekiel says this, such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell on my face and I heard the voice of one speaking. So 1,000 years before Jesus comes into the world, Ezekiel sees him in a vision. And what Ezekiel does when he sees Jesus, he falls flat on his face in worship. Why? Because the glory of God is like radiating from Jesus. The Bible says in Psalm 24 that Jesus is the King of glory. The King of glory. So psalms are being written. These are songs, worship songs are being written about Jesus long before he came into the world that say he's the King of glory. Angels worship Jesus throughout all of history. Angels are mysterious creatures, are they not? Really mysterious creatures. In fact, when people see, remember in the story, in the nativity story about Jesus' birth, the shepherds are out in the field and they're keeping watch over their flock by night. These guys are pretty tough. They fight lions, bears. Like a shepherd will fight a bear with a stick and a sling. They're pretty bold dudes. You know what I'm saying? Like these guys were roughnecks. Shepherds in those days were roughnecks. They were hard, tough dudes. And when the angel of the Lord appears to these shepherds to declare that Jesus is coming, what does it say happens to the shepherds? They become very much afraid. Because the glory of the Lord is radiating from these angels, and the presence of these angels, these really strong, powerful, tough men are freaked out. But those angels turn towards Jesus and they worship him. And watch this. The way they worship him is they declare his glory. They say, you're worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be worshiped. We know in the Bible that God is passionate about his own glory. Isaiah 48:11 says, my glory I will not give to another. This is a good thing that God won't give his glory to anybody else. And ultimately, when Jesus came into the world, he came in God's glory to reveal God's glory. That's why the angels said to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among men. Like, glory to God in the highest. Jesus is coming. He's the revelation of God's glory. So in history, here's what we've learned about Jesus. Authority belongs to Jesus. Sufficiency is in Jesus. And glory is revealed in Jesus. Now listen, let me condense this for you, young people. If you understand the authority of Christ and submit to it, if you understand the sufficiency of Jesus and grab hold of him, if you understand the glory of Jesus and worship him for it, you will be satisfied in a way that this world can offer you nothing to complete you. The world got nothing for you, man. This world's got nothing for you. Not in terms of completing you. It can't do it. But it keeps going. Because here's what else is possible through Jesus. The Bible in Hosea teaches us that you can be sons and daughters through Jesus. We put our faith and our trust in Jesus, we become sons and daughters of the Most High God. This is a powerful, the Bible in Romans, the Bible uses the word adoption to explain what this looks like. You see, I would argue that there is no more powerful display of love than the power of love that's displayed through the process of adoption. It's powerful, man. It takes, look, y'all know, I don't know if y'all noticed last night, but my youngest son doesn't look exactly like me. It's so funny. Me and Mo being out and about, and we're hanging out, and he's like, Daddy, Daddy this, Daddy that, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And people will be looking at us kind of funny, and I'm like, he looked like his mama. I love it. I cannot express to you the gravity and the weight of love that is expressed and displayed through that process. And the Bible uses that to explain to us how God loves us. Adoption is powerful, man. And God adopts us as sons and daughters. So we become sons and daughters. So he is able. Remember, all this is under this phrase. Him who is able. He's able because he has authority. He's able because he has sufficiency. He's able because the glory of God is revealed in Christ. He's able to make you sons and daughters of the Most High God. Additionally, true and genuine love is found in Jesus. True and genuine love is found in Jesus. We see it in the way that he creates the world. We see it in the way that he brings salvation and redemption to the world in the Old Testament through the people of Israel. We see the love of God, where in fact, at one point in the book of Hosea, he says, I'm going to take a people who are called not my people, and I'm going to change their name to my people. He says, I'm going to take someone whose name is No Mercy, and I'm going to change his name to Mercy Is Given. I'm going to give you mercy and grace and love. This is a powerful thing. The love of God given to you, extended to you through Jesus, is so powerful. You just got to try to wrap your brain around it by digging into his word and thanking him and worshiping him for it. Yeah, like God loves you. Some of you don't have a good, clear picture of love, man. We have a ministry through our church called Pinwheel Tutoring. We have another ministry through our church in the jail. We have a large jail in this area. It's a federal holding facility. It's really big. Serves three states. Georgia, Tennessee, North Carolina, right here in the corner in about 15 counties. Go in there. And here's what I learned. When we're ministering through our tutoring program, we're primarily working with kids that come from more difficult situations. In the projects, in the rougher communities. Some of you come out of that. Some of you live there. Some of you live in the hood, in the projects, in a really beat up, nasty, hole in the wall mobile home. And you're like, man, this is the life that I got. Let me tell you something. Jesus has entered into every part of humanity to say to you, I love you, and to rescue you from whatever this world would try to put you in. And his love is to you like the greatest gift you could ever imagine. And we go into homes and we see like the brokenness and the depravity. Depravity means brokenness, like busted up lives and homes and situations. And people don't have any hope. People don't have any no hope for life. And in their desperation and their lack of hope, they turn to drugs. They turn to really, really poor relationships. They turn to what little bit of the world they can see and grab hold of. And what they're left with is disappointment and brokenness and abandonment. And some of you have experienced that, I know for a fact. You've experienced abandonment, rejection. There are, out of 300 people sitting in this room, guaranteed a large number of people who have been either physically, emotionally, or sexually abused. I know this to be true. And so what that does is that jacks around with your perception of God. And here's what I want to say to you. The love of Jesus is rooted in purity and perfection, and it is greater than the brokenness that this world can throw at you. And he lifts us up out of it, and he gives us a, like my wife is reading a book to one of my girls right now. She's read it to all of our kids. She's reading it to my third daughter. I got two boys, three girls. She's reading it to my third daughter right now. And it's an allegory called Hinds Feet on High Places. Some of you maybe have read it, some of you adult leaders. If you hadn't, it's awesome. It's kind of a Pilgrim's Progress type deal. And she's reading a children's version. And it's this picture of God taking of a shepherd taking a scared, frightful, totally fearful little sheep and establishing that sheep in a safe and secure place where nothing in this world can hurt it or get to it. And you need to understand, Jesus loves you, and he's going to secure you in that love. That's a secure love. It's a confident love. I love to get my wife and all my kids and get them. I can almost get my arm around the whole group and squeeze, and I call it a daddy Big Mac. We used to call it a sandwich, but I like a Big Mac. I like a Big Mac. Y'all like a Big Mac? Anybody got special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun? It's joyful. Well, here we go. Big sandwich. Bring it in and squeeze, and always right in the middle. Whatever person is in the middle is just getting their gut squished out. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody's like squeezing, and whoever ends up in the middle. And sometimes I like to get in the middle. And everybody's squeezing, and I'm like, oh, you feel like your eyeballs are going to bulge out. Imagine the love that exists between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and you're caught up in the middle of that, and a perfect triune God, which means Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is loving within that Trinity, and you're brought up in that, and it's a love that's so powerful that you can't even hardly receive it. That's how you're loved. Why? Because Jesus has the authority to love you. He has the sufficiency to give you. He has the glory revealed. And so genuine love is found in Jesus. We also learn throughout history that identity is rooted in Jesus. You're not first an American or a Southerner. Remember my granddaddy all my life rode around with one. He had a tag on the front of his car that said, American by birth, Southern by the grace of God. Y'all ever heard that? They were like, people get caught up in their identity, man. Caught up in their identity. And I'm guilty, man. I love being from the South. I love it. It's great. It's awesome. But like, I think I'm the eighth generation in my family to live in the mountains of North Carolina. Like, my people go back to the early 1700s in this area. But that ain't my identity. Before that, they lived somewhere else. Everybody goes back to Adam. Everybody goes back to Noah and them boys at the flood, right? But let me tell you something that when we're talking about an identity in Christ, you're talking about an identity that's greater than anything in this world. A lot of people base their identity on sports or friend group or money or what people think about you. Listen, your identity can be found in Christ, and you'll be completely satisfied with who you are when you ever latch hold of that. So identity is found in Jesus. It's rooted in Jesus. Eternity is a reality because of Jesus. Worship is fulfilled in Jesus. Y'all ever read the Psalms? Read the Psalms. The Psalms are awesome. The Psalms are basically written as songs to Jesus. There's 150 of them. Now, there are a few of them that are scary, talking about like sticking arrows through the heart of your enemy and stuff like that. Have you ever read one of those Psalms and you're like, oh, whoa? Those are called imprecatory Psalms. There are Psalms that the Israelites would sing before battle. So some of them are like a war cry. But then, and don't get me wrong, I like to read those. They're just kind of fun. Like, one of them says something about smashing the teeth of the enemy, like breaking their teeth in their mouth or something like that. One of them says something about like our arrows are drunk with the blood of the enemy. So sometimes you're reading Psalms and you're like, oh, what is this all about? He's talking about breaking teeth and shooting arrows through people. And that, like, understanding that those were songs of praise to God before they would go into battle. But most of the Psalms say things like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Who is the King of glory? The Lord God, strong and mighty. It says things like, he will not suffer your foot to be moved. He that keeps you will never sleep. He'll keep over you. It says things like, you will be like a tree planted by rivers of water, and you'll bring forth fruit in your time. You see, the Psalms for thousands of years were being written and sung to declare the glory and the perfection of Jesus. But now we have Jesus. So we can sing those same things, those same truths, knowing who we're singing about, because Christ has come and revealed the glory of God to us. Something else that we know to be true about Jesus is that he is sovereign. Now, this is a difficult word, man. Sovereign. You ever hear that word? S-O-V-E-R-N. E-I-G-N. Sovereign. What's it mean? It means, here's what it means. It means in Habakkuk 2:20, God says to Habakkuk, I'm in heaven, you're on earth, why don't you be quiet, let me do what I do. God's sovereign means he's the boss. At one point in the Psalms, it says, God is in his holy temple or in his heavens, let all the earth be silent before him. Here's the way you can consider the sovereignty of Jesus. He is unopposed. He does whatever he pleases. He wants to make a lightning storm, he can do it. He does whatever he pleases. He's unopposed. No one can come against his plan. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Job, at one point it says, Jesus is talking to Job, and Job recognizes like this sovereignty of Jesus, and he says, I know it to be true that no one can thwart your plans. What's that mean? Nobody can like disrupt your plans. You ever have plans disrupted? Me too. I got a buddy that he's a deacon at our church, one of the deacons at the church where I'm a pastor. And a couple weeks ago, he was going down. We got some Alabama folks here. Alabama. All right, all right. Somebody said roll tide. It's always You got some Alabama people in the crowd. Somebody gonna say Roll Tide. All right. We ain't South Carolina. We ain't Clemson fans. One, two. All right, y'all outnumbered this week. That's all right. Y'all got the ring right now, so we'll see what happens here in a couple weeks. But anyway, I got a buddy that in church that went to Alabama to go hunting. He got down there and got really sick. He had planned a week's vacation. He'd been planning it for about 9 months, 10 months. He's gonna stay at this really nice property. He's going to hunt. He gets down there the first night. He has a gallbladder attack. Ends up in the hospital for like 4 days. Surgery. They remove his gallbladder. He bought his license, bought his food, planned everything, and he's done, and he comes home. We're talking at church last week, and I was like, man, sometimes your plans get jacked up, don't they? He's like, yeah. I said, man, I'm bummed about that. You know what? The sovereignty of Jesus means his plans never get jacked up. Jesus is never in a position where he's going, I don't know what to do. Let me think. He's not like that. Like, so here's what that means for you and me. In your situation, in your life, Jesus is never looking at you going, oh, man, I don't know what I'm going to do with this kid. I don't know how I'm going to recover from this. Oh, he said that, or she did that, or he went there, or she smoked that, or had sex with him, or like, you know, and your life feels like it's out of control. Jesus is not like, that's it. You blew it. I'm done. No. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to keep you from falling and staying down. Why? Because he's sovereign. And even your worst laid plans don't disrupt his plans of perfection. You follow Jesus, you follow one who is in control, in command. And on your worst day, he's not having a worst day. And on your best day, he's no more glorious or happy than he was on your worst day. He's unchanging, immovable. He never falters. He never fails. He does not know what it's like to lose. He's perfect. He's victorious in every way. He's sovereign. So let's go back to our verse. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Jesus is able to keep you. Quit getting beat up with doubt. Quit questioning your faith. Quit rededicating and recommitting and repraying and rebaptizing. Listen, to him who is able, because he has authority, because the glory of God is displayed in him, because he has infinite love for you, because he is sovereign in everything that he does, because holiness emanates from him. He's got you drawn up into that big bear hug between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's got you. He loves you. No matter how devalued you feel in any earthly relationship, Jesus has got you. But for some of you this morning, like, you're not there. You don't even know what I'm talking about because you're not in a relationship with Jesus. And to you, I would say this morning, put your faith and put your trust in Jesus and quit trying to hold on to what the world's offering you. Let go of it. Grab hold of Jesus as he grabs hold of you. Take hold. Hold fast to Christ. There's a picture in the creation when God makes the man and he puts him in the garden and he says, I want you to protect and keep. And he uses the word keep. Well, we've got that word in our passage. Now to him who is able to keep. And the word keep in the old Hebrew language meant to protect. He was saying to Adam, protect everything I've entrusted to you. Jesus can protect the salvation he's given you. I heard one pastor say, if you could lose your salvation, you would. But thank God you're not the one in control of your salvation. Jesus is. And the Bible says in John's gospel that in his hand, you're secure. Put your faith and your trust in Jesus and live in his unbreakable grip and have victory over doubt. And know that he's sovereign in your life. I love that word protect because I always think as a dad and a husband, I want to be a protector in my home. I want to be a protector. Now, it's not likely that I'm going to have to shoot somebody. You know what I'm saying? It's not like we don't live in a war zone. ISIS is not knocking at the door. You know, Boko Haram is not burning my barn down, anything like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, we live in a pretty secure society. I mean, it's bad and bad things happen. I'll tell you what, last year, my mom, in her front yard, her neighbor husband and wife, and he was an abusive husband, and the wife was running to 3 in the morning, the wife was running to my mom's house for help. And she's running up there, and the husband chased her down in my mom's yard and right in front of my mom shot and killed her. It was so crazy. I remember my mom calling me, and I said, "What are you doing?" It was like 4 in the morning. She said, "I'm hiding." And I said, "You know, when your 65-year-old mom calls and says she's hiding, I'm like, this is she awake? You know, what's it's just weird." And she said, "Me and Pap," that's my stepdad, she said, "me and Pap are in the bathtub." And I was like, "All right, too much information." She's like, "We're in a bathtub." And she said, "We're hunkered down and we both got pistols. I brought my mama a pistol years ago and taught her how to use it. Now she's a pistol packing grandma." All right. She said, "We're in the bathtub." She said, that's our safe room. We've gone over this. They got to have a safe room. She said, "We're in the safe room." And she's laughing. She's laughing because, you know, like when you get like something really traumatic happens and you start like emotions will come up and you're like later, you're like, "What? That was crazy. I was laughing." I remember talking to her later and I'm like, "What happened?" She said, "Well, so intense." And we go running for the bath. She said, "Pap was coming out on the porch with a gun and the lady's in our yard." And it's my mom's really close friend. And she's screaming and she's yelling. And the guy runs up and shoots her. She said, "We just go running in the house." She said, "We get in the bathroom and we hunker down." And she said, "Pap wanted a dip of skull." Now, y'all know what that is. Smokeless tobacco. It's 3 in the morning. He was nervous. He needed some nicotine, I guess. All the lights are out. They're on the phone with the police. The police are looking for this guy. He's somewhere outside. And my stepdad says, I'll be right back. He's got his gun. He's going to go on a tobacco run. And she said, "I hear him. Go run into," and he's, I love that joker to death. He's 60 years old. He's worked construction his whole life. He's tough as nails. She said, "I hear him go running through the house. All the lights are out and he hits the end table." And she said, "I just hear this like guttural, it sounded like a blue whale flopping around in our living room. Just like, bluh, 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 bluh," and he's just like rolling. And she's like, "All I could think is, Lord Jesus, please don't let his finger be on the trigger of that gun, you know?" And so he finally gets in there and he gets back and she said, he sat down and they're both just shaking. She said, it was the craziest feeling. We sat there and we thought, can we really protect ourselves in this situation? You know, when I think of protection, I think, would I be able to protect my family in the world? Let me tell you something. God told us in Genesis 2 to protect and keep. Jesus is able to protect and keep the salvation that he's given you. And no, and there's never a moment where he's worried about whether or not he can. He's got you. He's not tripping, stumbling, falling. He's not running for something else to give him more satisfaction. He is fulfilled within himself. And out of that fulfillment, he loves us and gives to us abundantly, muchísimo, more love than you could ever ask or receive. Overflowing. So this morning, if you don't know Jesus, I say to you, come to Jesus. I'm not going to do an invitation where I bring you down here and pray with you. I'm saying to you, the gospel is clear. What Jesus offers you is salvation. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, put your faith and your trust in him, he will save you. Call on the name of the Lord and be saved. To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called sons of God. And this morning you can go from death to life. You can become a son or a daughter of God. It's available to you. We're going to talk about that in share groups. Amen? I'll pray and give you some direction. Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning to understand your word in the most full and clear way. And I pray for these students. I pray that for those that don't know you, don't have a relationship with you, that you would, this morning, you'd take them from death to life. God, they wouldn't go through another minute or hour of this day without putting their faith and their trust in Jesus. I pray that they wouldn't even wait for share groups. I pray right now in their seats they'd call on the name of the Lord and be saved. God, I remember as a 19-year-old doing just that. And you've had me ever since. You had me before then. I just didn't know it. Because you're able to keep me from stumbling. You're able to keep us from falling and staying down. I pray you'd make us tougher in our faith. I pray you'd give us a bolder and a bigger faith. And I pray that just as you've proven throughout all of history, through the nation of Israel, through the prophets, through the giving of the law, through the worship of angels, through what you've revealed in your word from Genesis to Malachi. I pray that we would be confident that you are able to do what you say you're going to do. Because 2,000 years ago, you entered into history for your glory and for our good. I pray that we'd receive that and believe it. And I pray for young people this morning to get right with Jesus, to walk with you in obedience and submission to you. In your strong name we pray. Amen.